Three major studies in the last few weeks have concluded that a medical treatment used by millions of women does more harm than good. The studies showed hormone replacement therapy does not prevent heart disease or bone fractures, but does increase the risk of heart disease, strokes, and breast cancer. The stunning news has raised questions about the marketing of treatments for menopause. Since the first estrogen pill, Premarin, was introduced in 1942, makers of sex hormones have created a marketing and cultural phenomenon. As NPR's Joe Neal reports, claims made for hormones through the years have been backed by a flood of promotional books and films, though only a modicum of scientific evidence.
This film was made for doctors only. It's a bit eerie. The words Erst Medical Information Service hang on the screen in black and white. Then we see a woman in a nightgown sitting in a plaid easy chair in front of a cozy fireplace. She closes a book and looks away.
I have all these symptoms I don't understand. I get very hot one minute, and then I'm very cold the next. And I can't seem to concentrate. I'll pick up a book and start to read, and my mind wanders, and that's as far as I get.
The title comes up, 1972. Physiologic and Emotional Basis of Menopause. It feels a bit like an old Perry Mason show, only more nerdy. Several pictures of serious-looking doctors are displayed, introduced one by one. It's a so-called educational film from drug maker Erst. The movies were for doctors only. At the time, drug companies couldn't legally advertise to consumers. The films are a blend of homespun medical wisdom and paternalism, playing on older women's fears. As in this excerpt, the films are one part pseudoscience, one part hope for a second lease on life.
The physical alterations that are associated with a menopause may induce emotional changes. When a woman develops hot flushes, sweats, wrinkles on her face, she is quite concerned that she is losing her youth, that she may indeed be losing her husband.
My boys are both gone, and my husband is away from home a great deal with his work. The evenings bother me the most, and I think we all give thought to the fact that our husband may become interested in a younger woman, but I don't dwell on the subject.
Moreover, through factors we don't entirely understand, diminished estrogen production may be related to various types of depression.
Depression. It fit in nicely into the theories of the day, but there never has been any hard proof that estrogen works for depression, or that it improves other emotional changes some women have, or that it cures wrinkles. As the promotional films show, in retrospect, estrogen has always been a pill in search of an ill. Science has lagged far behind the marketing for decades. Premarin was approved 60 years ago, even before penicillin. But it didn't really take off until the late 50s. Hormonal birth control pills were undergoing their first tests then. Looking at the pill's effects on women, scientists hit on another idea. Since menopause creates an estrogen deficiency, perhaps menopause could be viewed as a disease. Not a normal stage of life, something that everyone would need to treat.
What about the future of the menopausal woman? Is her creative life over just because she's reached the age of 45 or 50 or 55?
And though advertising to the public was forbidden, estrogen's heyday started with a book for the masses. It was titled Feminine Forever by the late Manhattan gynecologist Robert Wilson, a man with strong financial ties to hormone makers. The book shocked the world by calling menopausal women castrates if they didn't take hormones. He won women over with scientific-sounding promises of youth and beauty and good sex.
I was aware of the book when I was a trainee in the 1960s.
Dr. Edward Wallach is professor of gynecology and obstetrics at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore.
I never read the book, but there's no doubt in my mind that Dr. Wilson helped to popularize the use of estrogens for control of menopausal symptoms.
And popularize it he did. Soon, millions of postmenopausal women were taking the youth pill for all of life's ills. And why not, if your doctor was saying this about estrogen therapy in the early 1970s?
With estrogen. I think this should be started with vigor, because we have a great deal to offer the patient. She can certainly expect to have an improvement in the hot flashes. Her sense of well-being will be restored. She will have a decrease in anxiety. She may have an improvement in her sexual relations.
And I'm cheerful again. I'm not grouchy with my husband and irritable with the children. And I just have a general physical well-being feeling. I just really wish I'd started them even earlier.
Again, claims not completely supported by science. In Feminine Forever and the magazine articles he wrote, Wilson's strongest claims that estrogen might prevent cancer made the decision for many women. And then there was the sexual revolution. The 1969 book, Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex, pushed estrogen as salvation for older women. But in many ways, doctors' talk about eliminating menopause was a grand illusion, says Cindy Pearson, who runs the National Women's Health Network, an activist group.
They accepted as truisms some theories about women's bodies without putting them to the test. And this idea that postmenopausal women are estrogen deficient is a theory, and happens to be a theory that plays very well into the marketing strategy of drug companies that make estrogen and hormone therapies, but it's only a theory.
Much of the information and misinformation persists. Wilson's credibility was challenged soon after the book was published when he acknowledged to the Washington Post payments from drug makers G.D. Searle, Ayrst, and Upjohn. He insisted that the money didn't affect his writings. The FDA thought otherwise and banned him from certain research for making unsubstantiated claims. But America had already embraced the youth pill, and for the first time, scientists said it was probably good for preventing brittle bones. But as the scientific picture filled in, it began to peel away the marketing mystique. December 1975, the New England Journal of Medicine published two studies documenting a very strong association between cancer of the lining of the uterus and estrogen therapy. For women on it long enough, the risk was 5 times greater. Cindy Pearson.
That was so stunning to us that the very week that the results were announced, we organized a memorial service on the steps of the Food and Drug Administration, and we were honoring the lives of women that had been lost because they didn't know to prevent this risk. And we called on the FDA then to give women the information.
It was the first ever protest by disease activists against the FDA, years before AIDS activists became famous for the tactic. The women's protest led to the first ever patient pamphlet explaining a drug's risks and known benefits. The companies regrouped. They recommended lower doses of estrogen and suggested women take a second hormone, progestin, to offset estrogen's possibly negative effects. Sales sagged, but not for long. In 1978, the FDA declared that estrogen controls bone loss after menopause, but stopped short of saying it prevents broken bones. But in this 1983 film, drug maker Ayrst wasn't as reticent.
Step on a crack, break your mother's back. Step on a line, break your mother's spine.
Postmenopausal osteoporosis is a major public health problem in the United States. The clinical syndrome is characterized by low bone mass, so that even with little or no trauma, victims can break their wrist, spine, or hip, often with catastrophic results. This disease is not merely debilitating and disfiguring, it can also be life-threatening.
Estrogen suddenly had some substantial science behind it and a new future as a critical life-saving drug. Then came the summer of 89.
A new study in this week's New England Journal of Medicine presents the first conclusive evidence linking estrogen therapy to breast cancer.
A breast cancer risk. Sales of Premarin dipped again. But Wyeth Ayer successfully argued that the study was weak and that Premarin was safe. Soon it was back among the 10 top-selling drugs, despite growing competition from designer estrogens like raloxifene. This new competition motivated Wyeth to lock its grip on the Premarin market. It had lost its patent way back in 1970. Cheaper generic copies of Premarin had begun to appear. Officials mounted a new campaign. There was no way a generic could duplicate the magic of Premarin. The company wheeled out the big guns as usual. This 1988 promotional cassette was mailed to doctors wrapped in an ad for Premarin.
The following program is brought to you by Wyeth Aerst Laboratories.
I'm Eric Severide in Washington, and this is Medical Outlook for obstetricians and gynecologists.
The late Eric Severide, one of the most respected journalists of the 20th century, on the payroll of Wyeth Aerst.
Then to Ann Arbor, Michigan, for a report on recurrence of menopausal symptoms when generic estrogens are substituted for Premarin. Finally, I'll be talking with Walter Cronkite about the international balance.
The FDA ultimately agreed that there could be no generic for Premarin, ever. That sealed a new 20-year patent on Premarin, allowing it a market monopoly until 2012. The youth pill was here to stay. In 1994, Wyeth's new combination of estrogen and progestin, Prempro, took off like a rocket. Sales soared again when the FDA permitted TV drug ads for the first time. Suddenly, menopause had spokeswomen like model Lauren Hutton and disco favorite Patti LaBelle.
When my doctor first mentioned Prempro, I didn't listen. But eventually I said yes to Prempro. Why not talk to your doctor? Say yes to Prempro.
Many women have said yes over and over for decades at a time without serious consequences. But the stunning studies released last month have led many women to say no to hormone therapy, at least for now. If the history of menopause marketing is any guide, though, it won't be very long until drug companies once again figure out a way to put hormone therapy back at the top of the charts. Joe Neal, NPR News, Washington.